His name is Peter Baldwin, and he's the founder of Bird Dogs Shorts. You've probably seen him on Shark Tank, where Mark Cuban obliterated his pitch. Look, Mark, he'll admit it. The invention of the first ever stretch khaki shorts that feel amazing, look amazing, and can wear literally anywhere wasn't his best idea. But he's got more, like Dog Trader. Just like Auto Trader, but you can sell your old dog. Eh? Mark, I know you'd invest if you just gave him one more shot. So go to birddogs.com/radio and join the 2 million men who think Bird Dogs shorts are a great idea. Or DM Mark Cuban and tell him to give Peter one more shot.
So to give you more updates here, as it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, about some of the negotiations between Saquon Barkley and the Giants and also Josh Jacobs and the Raiders, neither were able to get a deal done today at 4 p.m. Eastern. That was the deadline for players who were issued a franchise tag. Neither player has signed the $10-plus million tender yet. But how close the negotiations were, if a deal was going to get done, it had to be done for an extension for this year and moving forward by today, and that did not happen. Ryan Dunleavy, who covers NJ.com, he said with Saquon, so there was a tweet out there that said that the Giants refused to up their offer of $11 million per year by that ML football. And Ryan Dunleavy said, kind of right, the Giants moved up from $19 million in guaranteed money, Hickey, to $22-plus million in guaranteed money. But then, of the initial $11 million per year, they lowered the average per year salary at the same time. So they said, we'll give you more money, but then we'll lower your average per year salary. So they did go up to $22 million a year, or $22 million total and guaranteed, but then I don't know how much further south they went from the $11 million a year when you look at that. I hate to say it for Saquon, because we've seen running backs get more than $22 million guaranteed a year. He could do what he wants, and if he gets through this season healthy and he plays, maybe they'll slap the tag on him again. Who knows? Because you can do that twice, but it gets very expensive. I don't know how much better you're going to get than that with the way that this has been trending, that it hasn't been since 2021, where we've seen it was Nick Chubb get a long-term extension here, Hickey.
So he's getting $10 million guaranteed at the franchise tag. So if you do quick math, that means that next year will be about, let's say, $12 million. Do I think Saquon Barkley could get $12 million guaranteed next year? Thinks there's a chance. I mean, it's obviously a risk with the position he plays, but I don't think it's outlandish to say, no, I'm going to basically bet on myself and that'd be a stupid decision.
The guy's been inconsistent. Let's just call it what it is. He's not been available a ton to be on the field. Now, when he's on the field, he's dynamite. But there's been a decent period where he's missed a bunch of games, so it's almost at this point where running backs don't really have leverage is what I'm getting at. And if you get somewhat of a decent offer, or even if you want to say an above average offer, you know, I know you don't want to get pigeonholed that way, but you almost have to take it at this point, Hickey. Now, he didn't, and he'll bet on himself, and I'm sure there'll be someone out there next year that'll be willing to give him a long-term deal because of the name and, right, the notoriety of a Saquon Barkley. But if he gets hurt this year, he's really going to screw himself. And that's the thing. I know any position can get hurt, but we've seen Saquon get hurt a lot, unfortunately, in the NFL.
In his credit, it's been what? He's been in the league 5 years. He's played 13 games 4 of the 5 years. He had the one ACL injury that really derailed his career. So he's been, for the most part, 16 games, 13 games, 2 with the ACL, 13 and 16. So it's not like he's been, I guess we'll say, for running back, that's unavailable, where it's crazy to think that you can turn down, let's say, $22 million guaranteed. I just think at this point, if you're Saquon, I think the Giants should have given him a contract. I don't think for him, turning it down was a bad move.
That's 12 games a year on the average.
Yeah, and I think, again, I don't think that's crazy.
12 games a year?
For a running back at this point, yeah. I'd say it's still pretty durable.
I wouldn't say. Now there's an extra regular season game. If I'm paying a running back big time money, if he's only giving me, and right, you would assume that's only going to be a 3 or 4 year deal max, probably a 4 year deal in this case, you better be giving me more than 12 games a season, which is what it's averaged out to be. I know what you're saying with the 16 and all that stuff, and you miss pretty much one full year that kills you. But then you look at the other two, he's, you know, 13 and 13 in 2019 and 2021. So that was it on the Saquon Barkley front. Now, Ryan Dunleavy does add this, who covers the Giants. I've been right about the Giants and Saquon Barkley situation every step of the way. I never thought he would sit out games because winning teammates and stats and legacy means so much to him. After dozens of convos today, I think I might be wrong about that. So Ryan Dunleavy is throwing it out there. This has been a guy that never thought he would sit out, that now he's starting to think he's going to be wrong when it comes to Saquon Barkley, where he said he would never sit out a game. He wouldn't be surprised at this point. And here's what I'll say. I don't think it really behooves Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs, if you're going to play this year, to sit out. Right, you miss one game check. If you sit out a game, okay. But what is it worth? Like, go get your full $10-plus million this year on the franchise tag and go play this year, because look at what Le'Veon Bell did. He missed an entire season. I know he eventually got the deal, but if you could eventually go get that deal, you may as well go get your $10 million now when you could go get it, because you never know how long the running backs are going to last. But there's been, we've seen today almost every star running back in the NFL, and there's a lot of them, tweet about this. Austin Eckler, who you'll hear from again at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, 6:40 p.m. Pacific, we'll replay that for you. He joined us earlier in the second segment of the show, and he says he wants to hear from the owners here. So you have an offseason where Austin Eckler was asked to go explore for a trade. Nothing got done. You had Dalvin Cook get cut. Joe Mixon basically have his salary slashed in half. And then you have Tony Pollard, who I never thought a long-term deal was going to get done. He'll play on the franchise tag. But then Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley not get a long-term extension. And the last running back to get a long-term deal was Nick Chubb in 2021. Now, I get it, right? Where I see both sides of this. A bell cow back that has won a Super Bowl hasn't happened in a long time. And all these teams that win, for the most part, are by running back by committee, at least for the last decade plus. So you don't need a bell cow back to go win a Super Bowl. I still think there needs to be a value on the running back position, but you see all these salaries go up and running backs aren't. And when we all go draft for fantasy football next year, you know, running backs are going to be flying off the boards. And we know that a guy like Austin Eckler, outside of Justin Herbert, is the most valuable player on the offensive side of the ball for the Chargers. We know how value Saquon Barkley and how valuable Saquon Barkley, I think, is the most valuable player on the Giants, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Josh Jacobs was phenomenal last year for the Las Vegas Raiders. He's a first-team All-Pro. There's still value for those guys. And those guys are still really fun players to watch and awesome players. But because of that position that they play, yeah, I know injuries can happen all across the board in other places, but that position, your legs are what take you throughout your duration of your career. Now, you can say that about quarterbacks, or you can say that about wide receivers, but when you're running the ball, your legs are getting taken shots at almost every play when you have the ball in your hand because of the nature of your position. And we've seen before, there's not many 10-plus year running backs anymore in the league. Like, look how many running backs we've had in the last 15 years that have been stars and, like, memorable names for 4 or 5 years, and then they can't really do much more than that. And most of these teams that give these contracts, you know, big second-year contracts to running backs, they usually don't even see the duration of it. Look what just happened with Dalvin Cook. And it's not as if Dalvin Cook has stunk, but Dalvin Cook has been 4 straight years of 1,000-plus yards, and now you have Alexander Mattison, who is a young up-and-coming running back out of Boise State, and Alexander Mattison is someone that the Vikings look at and think could be really good, and they're going to pay him significantly less than what they would have paid to Dalvin Cook. And you can't tell me that the Vikings still couldn't use Dalvin Cook. So I understand both sides of it. Now, I don't think Barkley will sit out, but if there's going to be an offseason where a running back, and all right, it happened a few years ago with Le'Veon Bell, but no one actually thought he would go through with it. But if there's going to be an offseason where a running back's going to try to send a message in a game or two, and I don't know how effective that is, and maybe we're caught up in the moment right now, this may be it. Ultimately, I think both guys will be there game one. Barkley, I definitely think, will be there. Jacobs, I think, is a wild card. But I kind of do feel like both guys will be there because I don't really see the upside to sitting out. Like, what are you actually proving? Like, when Austin Eckler joined us earlier, he's like, we want to send a message, blah, 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 blah. Like, what are you actually going to do? Because you've seen this all the time in the NFL before. When it comes to labor disputes, everyone says, oh, we're one. We're all together. In reality, that's a nice thing to say. But these guys, and I understand too, I'd be the same way. Like, I could sit here and say, I want to see this done for the radio world. But then if Odyssey came and offered me something, even if it contradicts everything I just said, you got to do what's in the best interest for yourself. And ultimately, these guys will do what's in the best interest for themselves, Hickey.
And that's why, like, going back to the Barkley sitting out. Like, I think that's something where if Ryan Dunleavy's talking to people and maybe Saquon's pushed that memo today, it makes sense today because I'm sure he's emotional. I'm sure he's frustrated. And it's easy to say on July 17th, 2 months from now, I won't be there. I'm going to sit out. Screw it. Screw them. I'm going to send a message. A month from now, I would be shocked if he's not on the practice field. Because when it really comes down to it for Barkley, too, I get he's frustrated and he wants a long-term deal.
Field. He just needs to show up week one. He doesn't need any extra practice. He doesn't need to know more of the playbook. No, he doesn't.
Does he need to go through the grind of 2-a-days? No.
Well, there's no 2-a-days anymore.
He also needs to be at his best because this is a prove-it season. And if the Giants aren't going to pay him, I think someone eventually will. And that's the moment. I know it hasn't happened a lot, but that's the mindset you have to have. And that's why come week one, you can't just be on the field. You have to be ready to play and be on the field and ready to go.
Sure. And there's different between being in shape and then being in game shape. But Saquon Barkley doesn't need anything of training camp anymore. He knows the entire offense. As long as he just has his body ready, it's not like much actually does occur in training camp. They've watered it down so much where you barely can even do anything. The most beneficial thing is if you have the joint practices, and that's only for 2 or 3 days. I don't think training camp for Saquon Barkley means anything at this point. And I'd be surprised if he shows up for any of training camp, if we're being honest here. Now, for the Josh Jacobs thing, here's Tom Pelissero. How close was Josh Jacobs to signing an extension with the Raiders? Did you see this yet?
No.
He was sitting in a car in the parking lot of the Raiders facility with teammate Max Crosby at the deadline, ready to sign if the deal got done. It didn't, and now it's unclear when the rushing champ will return. Think about that. Now, I don't know how close that means they actually were, but if you're Josh Jacobs, and I don't think they were close. You know, maybe I'm wrong here, but if you're Josh Jacobs, he must have thought, in some capacity, there was a chance a deal gets done. Because what's the point of Josh Jacobs getting in a car with Max Crosby sitting there in the facility? Like, in the parking lot of the facility. Well, what's the point of that?
My guess would be to apply pressure. To try to get, you know,
but what
get
pressure
a deal
does that
done.
Apply?
I'm sitting here.
Oh, I'm sitting in the parking lot. Let's get it done?
With
that doesn't
right
do anything.
Now, the best, second best player on your team. It didn't work.
But does that
I'm just
do
saying,
anything?
Like, I don't like. I read that tweet. I don't think it was one of those deadline situations of the Raiders sitting there, should we pay him, should we not pay him? We're so close. I would agree with you. I don't think it was anywhere close. I just think that was more of a tactic by Josh Jacobs. If you don't think, or you were frustrated with the way the negotiations are going, I mean, there's only a few things you can do. One of them is maybe, hey, let me see if I can just sit here, and maybe them seeing me will help jumpstart a deal. More than me sitting at home would.
You know what this was? You know what this was? This was to just say, I was ready to go. I was ready to get a deal done. I was ready to walk into the facility and get this over with, but the team didn't give me what I want. I don't think, I know deadlines make deals, but if the deal didn't get done last night on Sunday, or if there wasn't a feeling of optimism, which there never was here with the Giants or with Josh Jacobs, it was very unlikely that either of these deals were going to get done today. Because you see the Giants, according to Ryan Dunleavy, in one regard, they're willing to even more guarantee money, but then they wanted to cut down the average annual value. Now, I don't have the details out there of how close Josh Jacobs were, but I think this was Jacobs just trying to send the message to the fan base, hey, I was ready to go. I was here. I was ready to get a deal done, but the Raiders couldn't get the job done. And let's be real, with the way that the Raiders organization is currently constructed, and I don't care if Josh Jacobs was in the wrong, the Raiders aren't going to get the benefit of the doubt because Josh Jacobs, from all accounts, right, us meeting him, phenomenal dude, awesome dude, played his ass off last year, and it's not as if David Zeigler or Josh McDaniels, deservedly so, are popular right now or going to win any popularity contest with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, right. Jacobs, if that was truly a publicity ploy to
it
make
is.
Himself look better now, and it's all about how you frame it. Now that the deal didn't get done, you try to make yourself look as best as you can, not just for your own fan base, but for maybe other prospective teams that could sign you this time next year. He didn't have to exactly go to that length to kind of show the goodwill he has, because you're right, if it's a contest between who you like better, Jacobs or McDaniels, pretty sure we'll have a landslide there of who's going to win.
Also, how long was he sitting there for? Like, if you were really trying to make a stand, don't you go on Instagram Live and you make a big push about it, and you make a big public outcry for this to come out after the fact? I know Max Crosby seems like a good dude by all accounts, but do you think Max Crosby's sitting there for 4 hours with his teammate and Josh Jacobs in the parking lot? I know they have AC in the car, and I'm sure they both have nice vehicles, or maybe they carpool together. Who knows? Because maybe Josh Jacobs needs to save on the gas money with this contract situation. I'm being, in jest there. But I have a tough time. Like, if you said to me you had a contract dispute, Hickey, and you said, let's go sit in a car in, 110 degrees weather in Las Vegas or wherever, even though we have AC, I'm not sitting there with you for 3-4 hours.
Good to know.
I think this was, all right, the deadline is 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll show up at 3:30, something like that.
Honking the horns, maybe. I'm here. Let them know we're here.
I would go on Instagram Live, make a big stink out of this thing. I would, bring some fans, get a pickup truck, have the fans jump in the pickup truck and have a bunch of signs.
Well,
and protest outside the facility.
The Vegas Heat probably works in the Raiders' favor here. You really can't protest in this heat. You can't be marching around the facility.
You find out who your P1s are.
Well,
I'm sure a lot of people do a lot of crazy things for Josh Jacobs.
Well, look, a lot of hardened, Jay in Alaska, big time Raiders fan. Yeah. I'm sure he would be picketing. But for everyone's health, maybe let's silent pick him. Maybe let's drive around the facility. I don't know, drive on the grass or something like that. Let it be known you're here.
You know what? We have not heard from Jay in Alaska today. I'm very surprised. Whenever we say the word Raiders on this show, he's right on board at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you think Jay is just over the Raiders now? You think he's so disappointed with this football team that he's just immune to all this stuff at this point?
He seemed, I forget which game it was, but he has never been more, I think he gave up. Didn't he say on the air, I give up the Raiders?
Never serious. Like, Jay in Alaska is very similar to you. It doesn't matter how many times a team stomps on your chest and rips your heart out and sucks over and over and over and over again the life out of you. You always find a way to buy on it. It's almost like that movie Fever Pitch when they have to go up to Jimmy Fallon and they go, you love the Red Sox so much, but what have the Red Sox ever done for you? And it's one of those moments where you kind of realize that the team's really never done anything for you because you're a fan at the end of the day. But for whatever the reasons are, you keep on giving them the benefit of the doubt over and over and over again.
I think Jay was serious.
No,
I do.
No shot.
I think he's at a situation where the Raiders aren't any good. So this is a move that doesn't really impact them good or bad for the long run. I would say, not that he's indifferent.
You know this. You know this and I know this. The Raiders season opens up against Denver. And then they play Buffalo. If the Raiders open up the year 0-2, I guarantee you we get a Jay in Alaska call. I can't stand McIdiot. I can't stand the Las Vegas Raiders. My grandma gives more effort. And she's been dead for 20 years. You know you'll get a call like that from Jay in Alaska. 1,000%. It's in his blood. It's in his DNA. It's just like you. You're the same way. Every year you find a way to talk up a crappy team into a team being somewhat good.
I will say, I canceled the Mets on Saturday, walk off one on Sunday. Am I back? No, I'm not back.
Okay, but 3 weeks ago, you tried to tell me I was the biggest idiot in the world for telling you that this team was going nowhere.
I did watch yesterday, though, so probably shame on me.
You're
after
a sucker.
Giving up, but
you are a sucker. You went to the game on Saturday, and you put out this obnoxious social media post. Here I come to save the season. And guess what?
I was there to save the season. I was.
Yeah, Brett Beatty really listened when he couldn't feel that
I haven't seen a loss in person at Citi Field in like 2 years. I was ready to do everything I could to will this team to be back. And even if I can't save them, nobody can.
I love you.
Not even Superman.
I love you, but you have no power in that regards. Instead of just giving your team more money.
Or get a base hit with first and third.
You would not have caught that fly ball. You're still a talk show host. That's still a major league athlete, professional athlete.
I played outfield.
Stop.
Freshman baseball. I can catch a fly ball.
You would have been like the kid in Sandlot that gets hit right in the face with the ball and has that black eye.
Smalls?
Yeah.
No,
you're killing me, Smalls.
I'm more athletic than Smalls.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Please. I'm not a good baseball player. At the end of the day, I am absolutely a better baseball player than Smalls, hands down.
No, you're not. You're like Mendoza. You're below the Mendoza line. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. We will debut a brand new season of First and Goal where we start to preview all 32 teams. Stick around to find out which NFL player we'll talk to next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Every NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, First and Goal is back. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And today we'll preview the Tennessee Titans. And we'll do so with a member of their football team. He's a defensive back and was drafted in the third round, pick 100 overall back in the 2021 draft, and is getting set to enter year number three in Nashville out of the University of Washington. And that, of course, is Elijah Molden. Elijah, always appreciate the time. Thanks for it. How are you?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And doing well over here. You know, we're getting started next week, so just kind of taking time with fam before we start up.
So you had a really successful rookie season, and then unfortunately last year had a nagging groin injury. How did you deal with not being able to play a lot last year going through that groin injury?
It sucked. You know, I don't even – you said, you know, I'm going into my third year, but really it just feels like my second. You know, I missed all the camp, and then really I played only two games, but those two games I still had the pulled groin. So it was pretty – it was tough, you know. It was the hardest thing I've had to go through in terms of just my football career and stuff. So now I'm all healed up and ready for the season.
What do you want to prove this year individually after with what you had to go through last year?
I'm not too worried. More, you know, I'm not too worried about proving myself to anyone. I just kind of want to just go back to, you know, what I know I'm capable of and proving to myself what I'm capable of before this whole injury.
I did see during some of the off-season workout programs that you were getting some reps at safety. How did that go?
Went great. Yeah, I loved it. I think, you know, the more I could do, the better. I played a little safety in college, but, you know, my rookie year, I didn't, you know, we were pretty deep at safety, so I never got into the position, but camp, it was really fun to learn safety and with KB not reporting until late, I got some good reps before he came, and then from there I was able to do both nickel and safety.
What do you kind of envision your role being this year with Tennessee?
Whatever gets me on the field, really. I'm not too picky. Hopefully I can be used at multiple roles.
Let's get to the next down. Elijah Molden here with us. What was your reaction yesterday? Everyone saw the news that your football team landed DeAndre Hopkins. How did you react when you saw that one come across your phone or wherever you saw it?
Yeah, man, I think it's been brewing for a while. I mean, I don't pay attention to the media a whole lot, but I think his name and the Titans kept coming up and again and again. And then I think my brother sent it to me, and he's big on fantasy football, so he was definitely excited. But I think it's great. You know, he's one of the best receivers of the decade, really, and he's done so much in his career. So I think adding another weapon to our offense will be awesome for us.
And you already have Derrick Henry. Now you get DeAndre Hopkins. That should be a pretty damn good offense coming up this season.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we just got to put the pieces together on both sides of the ball. I know we have a lot of players. And training camp, we'll see how things fall into place.
So some people, when they see the news yesterday of DeAndre Hopkins, they go, why is he going there? Tennessee doesn't have much of a Super Bowl window. They don't think that's a winning destination. What do you say to people that don't believe that the Tennessee Titans could be a playoff team this year?
I mean, they're not in the building. You know, they're not. They don't see kind of the work we put in. They don't. A lot of them, you know, just kind of, you know, follow on media and watch games on TV on their Sunday, but there's a lot more that goes on kind of behind the scenes, and we really like the team we have, and you know, obviously we didn't make the playoffs last year. That's one of our goals. We have high expectations and high standards for ourselves.
Let's get to the next down. Elijah Molden here with us. When you take a look at your head football coach, Mike Vrabel, I know that you felt like you only played one season because, unfortunately, the injuries last year. But how do you recap these last 2 years with Coach Vrabel, one of the better coaches in the league?
Definitely one of the better coaches in the league. And I think he's well-versed. Not just, I mean, he can go out there and coach any position. I think that's kind of what makes him special. And then situationally how good he is in terms of just kind of teaching us and coaching us up on the details. Every play is a different situation. He's really good at getting that through our heads and stuff. So I think he's a great coach to play for. We all want to play hard for him.
What type of defense do you think you guys will have this year when you take a look at the talent that you have in that locker room?
I mean, in terms of our pass defense, we're going to improve. With Coach Harris coming in, he's one of the best coaches I've ever had already, just from OTA. So that's going to improve. And then as a defense, too, I think, in the run game, we were already stout last year. So we're definitely going to improve across the board.
Let's get to the final down. Elijah Molden here with us. So you take a glance at your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. A lot of people that do my job, right, we all love to talk about the coach. We all love to talk about the quarterback. And your quarterback has been in the news a lot. There's been a lot of opinions out there. What type of quarterback and where is this team's confidence with Ryan Tannehill when he's under center?
Yeah, I love Ryan. He's a great guy. I mean, just being around him the last couple of years, I have a ton of respect for him and the way he prepares for a game. There's definitely trust in the locker room with him, just because of the way he prepares. And he's also kind of gone through some injuries and a lot of challenges over the last year or two. And I feel like this year is going to be a good opportunity now that we have we got some good pieces around him.
Two drafts ago, the team selected Malik Willis. This past draft, they drafted Will Levis. Just what have your interactions and what have your relationships been with those two young quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, good people. I mean, I know Malik a lot more than Will just because he's been around longer. Love that guy. And he's a people's person. I think, he really took a step in OTAs. I'm excited to watch him develop. And then with Will, too, I think he came in pretty, it's tough for a rookie to come in. And I think he surprised some people just the way he was able to pick up some stuff. So, it's a good group of guys.
And last thing I'll ask you, just because of what happened for you last year, it's got to be an exciting time, right? You're in a good situation health-wise, and you're getting ready to really get what you would probably say is really year two for you in the NFL.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, last year was tough for me, but then in my personal life, it was also probably my best year. So it's, a bit of yin and yang, and I think I'm going into this year a lot more mature than I did last year and the year before, and just kind of open to whatever. And I know I'm going to grow and learn and get better every day. That's just kind of how I've always been. So I'm really excited to make a splash this year.
Well, we're excited to see you get back on the football field. Appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. Good luck, Elijah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, how we doing? Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio coming up 20 minutes from now in the news brief. Also, you will hear from Austin Eckler right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio an hour from now. But first up, training camp right around the corner. We're getting ready to preview the NFL season. We usually do this in season every 4 weeks or so, but getting set for training camp. Let's do a little preseason contender or pretender. Hickey's going to give me a team, and I'll tell you what I think they're going to do for this upcoming season in the NFL.
The Tennessee Titans.
Well, very much so in the news today. It's a nice team picking right out of the gate, Hickey, and that leads us to our poll question. The Titans this year will win the AFC South, be a wild card team, or miss the playoffs. If you tell me that they make the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked. We know Mike Vrabel is a really good coach. I just can't believe in Ryan Tannehill. And I love Derrick Henry. I love DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to see if they can improve on the back end this year. You just heard from Elijah Molden. But Hickey, would you agree with this? That if they don't win the division, I have a tough time seeing them edge out the other potential wild card teams, because you got to think bare minimum two teams are getting in from the AFC East. So let's say the Bills make the playoffs as the division winner. Are the Dolphins or Jets going to be behind Tennessee? I would say no. Then you look at the North. If the Bengals win it, I think the Ravens are better than Tennessee. And then even in the AFC West, like Chiefs will win that division, the Chargers are better than Tennessee. I know that division isn't good, but I feel as if only one team's going to go from that division, and I'll bet and throw my eggs in the basket of the Jacksonville Jaguars rather than Tennessee. So I'm going to say that they're a borderline, right, 50-50 team here either way, but I'll lean more so on the pretender side. Even though this team started off 7-3 last year, then all the injuries caught up and they finished the year out 7-10. I think the AFC is just too deep, and this team doesn't have a quarterback that I can believe in.
The Minnesota Vikings.
By the way, to answer that poll question, the Titans this year will win the AFC South, be a wildcard team, or miss the playoffs. 66% say miss the playoffs. 22.3% say be a wildcard team, and then 11.7% say win the AFC South. All right, so contender or pretender, you just said the Minnesota Vikings. To do what exactly?
Be a threat to make the NFC, to win a playoff game. We'll just keep it simple. Win a playoff game.
Pretender, then. I think they could be a postseason team. I know that everyone loves Detroit right now. I don't think Detroit, by any stretch, is a lock to win that division. I would say most people right now believe it's Minnesota, or it would be the Detroit Lions. And Green Bay, if they could figure out their QB situation with Jordan Love, they have a really talented roster, too. I do believe that the Vikings team ceiling is kind of what you seen last year, where you could have a really good regular season. You know, could they win a playoff game? Sure. But I don't think anyone's ever going to go into a playoff game feeling all that confident with Kirk Cousins, who's a good quarterback but not a great quarterback, and probably his career highlight is winning that game up against the Saints. Outside of that, I feel as if that was peak Kirk Cousins in the playoffs, where he threw that game winner. I think it was to Kyle Rudolph, if memory serves me right. But I'll say they're a pretender because I do think there will be regression this year. I don't think they're going to fall off, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I believe they're going to be better than the team that they were last year.
The New Orleans Saints.
Is this just to win the division?
Yeah, make the playoffs, win the division.
If you ask me today if they'll win the division, I'll say yes. But Hickey, I'll tell you by week one or by when we have to make our official predictions, I will probably pick someone other than the New Orleans Saints. So if that's the way that I'm going to operate, like, they should win this division this year, but I don't trust any of those guys that, right, are supposed to be big talent that are always hurt to stay healthy this year. I don't love Derek Carr. Oh, I forget who it was. Oh, it was Eric Eager. Remember him from Sumer Sports? He does a great job with Thomas Dimitroff. He says, as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, which he is, I'll never have confidence for Derek Carr to win a division. That's what he said when talking about him, even with Carr and the Saints. I could see myself talking are the Falcons on here? Right, just wondering, did you put the Falcons in here? You did? All right, so I'll save it for the Falcons. Well, I'm going to basically spoil it anyway. Give me the Falcons
right
now.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I'll say the Falcons are a contender. I'll pick the Falcons to win the division right now. I'll tell you that, and I'm not going to believe in the Saints.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Contender. I like the Seahawks this year. I think they're going to have a really good secondary. When you look the way that they've drafted the last 2 years, you now get Bobby Wagner back. And also, you have a top five, top six coach in Pete Carroll. And you look at the offense, you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba added to a receiving core of Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Who DK Metcalf was wearing shorts to a wedding I did see this weekend. Now, he could pull it off. You know, who's going to fault DK Metcalf? But I think it was Tyler Lockett's wedding, and there was a photo of Lockett, Metcalf, and maybe it was Russell Wilson. I think it was Russell Wilson, which makes sense that Russell Wilson would get invited, even though he's no longer on the team. But those guys did play together for a while. So I did see that photo of DK Metcalf. But plus, you have Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. The big question is just how much does Geno Smith regress? As long as he's not awful, that's going to be... They won't win the division because the 49ers are the best team in that division, but they could be the third best team in the NFC.
The New York Jets.
Contender, pretender to do what? I'll ask you that.
Super Bowl.
Pretender. I think this is a team that will make the playoffs. I think they could win a playoff game. They have a great defense. But you look at Aaron Rodgers, how many times are people going to believe in him to get the job done? I know he's won one Super Bowl. He's been to one Super Bowl. You would have thought that would have been more by now. But the last few years, in an easier NFC, with home field advantage in the NFC, he came up short against the Buccaneers when he had every opportunity. Brady gave him every opportunity to get back in it. And then up against the 49ers, you get one touchdown drive out of the gate, and then you did nothing the rest of that game. I thought the last few years were Rodgers' best years to add on another Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to occur in New York, but they're not going to be a disaster because they should be a playoff team this year, and they will be a playoff team.
The Washington Commanders.
I want to pick them to make the playoffs, Hickey. I really do, because I like that roster. But I can't buy stock in Sam Howell. I know a few years ago, many people thought he could be the number one overall pick, bare minimum first-round pick. Then he goes back to UNC. I know missing two wide receivers. You lose both your running backs as well. But, I just look at that team. Who was the other running back at UNC? It was Javonte Williams and it was Michael Carter. But you lose that, and then you go to a fifth-round pick. Do I think he's as bad as a fifth-round pick? No. Do I think he's as good as what he was projected to be the year prior as a first-round pick? Probably not. But even in a wide-open NFC, I can't tell you that I'm buying a lot of stock in Sam Howell. So until they don't get that quarterback situation figured out, I will say pretender. Now, you do have Jacoby Brissett there, and Brissett's been competent when given an opportunity to start, but I'll go pretender.
The New England Patriots.
Are you just doing this to get a reaction out of me? Are you just doing what 49ers fans accused me of doing? Being clickbait last week, or what Andrew Siciliano did as well, clickbait? Are you just trying to get a clickbait reaction out of yours truly?
I'm just asking an innocent question from a team that's on the bubble of making the playoffs. I'm trying to do my job here.
Pretender. And here's why. Because Bill Belichick didn't get DeAndre Hopkins. You need a number one wide receiver in the NFL if you have a quarterback that's questionable. At a time, Josh Allen was questionable. At a time, Jalen Hurts was questionable. What did their general managers do? They went out, they got Stephon Diggs, they also got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. I know they got Bill O'Brien this past offseason. I'm going to throw a parade for that, though. It's better than Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, those two bozos calling the plays. So just getting an offensive coordinator wasn't enough. Do they have more weapons than they did last year? Sure, you got Mike Gesicki and you got Juju Smith-Schuster. That's not a number one weapon. DeAndre Hopkins is a number one weapon. And I still don't think you'll be able to properly evaluate Mac Jones because he doesn't have enough around him in the year of 2023 at the quarterback position in a loaded AFC East and a loaded AFC. The Patriots are pretenders this year. Belichick, I'm sure, will still go get 8 or 9 wins, but they're not making the playoffs because they don't have a number one wide receiver. And it infuriates me that they didn't find a way to exceed what Tennessee gave DeAndre Hopkins. Because DeAndre Hopkins would have went to the team that paid him the most money, and that could have been the Patriots. Shame on my Patriots. Shame on them for not getting DeAndre Hopkins.
The New York Giants.
Pretender. I think the Giants are going to regress. Brian Daboll coached his ass off last year. That is not a great roster. I know they have some good young players. Daniel Jones, I know they paid him, and he played well last year, but he's still a question mark, and now you don't know what the heck's going to happen with Saquon Barkley. I think he'll eventually play, but how many games is he going to miss, if at any at all, because they didn't give him a long-term deal today? Everything went right for the Giants last year. In the NFL, when everything goes right, usually the next year, I don't want to say everything goes wrong, but more wrong occurs than right. So I'll say pretender.
Los Angeles Rams.
Pretender. I don't like the direction of that organization. They went all in. They won. Worth it. But you have too many players that's 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Coach, I'm going to retire and be a TV star. Then I'm not. Then I'm back. I like Matthew Stafford. Right? Cooper Kupp is a stud. Aaron Donald is phenomenal. But Bobby Wagner told me all I need to know about this team when he wanted out of that organization after going there a year ago because he didn't think that team could win when he's looking to win another ring.
The Green Bay Packers.
You know what, Hickey? I think they could be a sneaky team this year to make the playoffs in the NFC. I'll say they're a contender. I like what they have on defense with Jaire Alexander and Kenny Clark, friend of the show. And then offensively, they got two good running backs. They got a young wide receiver. An offensive line that was all banged up last year, and that offensive line is going to be massive. If Jordan Love is just average, I could see them winning 9 games this year, and 9 games will get you in the playoffs in the NFC. So I'll say contender.
The Cleveland Browns.
And I said, here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns, and it's 1st and 10. Shout out Ken Carmen. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hey, hey.
Really good roster. If they were in the NFC, I would say contender. The division is brutal. I don't even know if they could, if they're going to be the second best team in the AFC North. And that AFC is loaded. And also, Hickey picked them to make the playoffs this year, so I'll fade him. That's usually a good thing to do. So that's why I'll say pretender. So if you are a fan of the Cleveland Browns, if you're a member of the Dog Pound, invite Hickey to the Dog Pound this year and just chop him up, because he's going to be the person that jinxes your season, because the Hickey Hex is alive. And unfortunately, if Hickey's on your team, it's alive and well and not so well for your team. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout. Coming up, final hour of the show on this Monday, we will do a news brief. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll get to the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming, across what actually ended up being a busy weekend, even for the summer in the world of sports. And then at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, 6:40 p.m. Pacific, a big day for running backs in the NFL, and not in a good way, because Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, none of them got a long-term extension. All have franchise tags, so that deadline is now over. Austin Eckler was trying to get a new deal this offseason, and you know they reworked the contract very marginally. So we will chat with the Chargers superstar running back Austin Eckler coming up at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, 6:40 p.m. Pacific. Don't go anywhere.
We all have tasks we'd like to avoid, like mailing and shipping. It takes time lugging all those letters and packages to the post office. That's why you should try Stamps.com. For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. You get all the services of the post office right on your computer, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, you save money with discounts up to 84% on USPS and UPS. With Stamps.com, all you need is a computer and printer. Print stamps, print shipping labels, and if you sell products online, Stamps.com connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart, so you can spend less time on shipping and more time on your business. Get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. Just go to Stamps.com and enter code PROGRAM.